But let's stand for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to continue in our series of Step into Life as we look through the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, as we look at some of those and continue to learn what this means, that the life that Jesus wants us to step into has its blessings both now and forever. Let's read. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for today that we have an opportunity, Lord, to hear from your word. And we know that it is true, and we know that you speak through your word, and we are thankful that we can hear your voice today. I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts and minds, Lord, to what you want us to know. Lord, that you'd change us, that you would help us to know you more, to trust you, to have complete confidence in you, Lord. Help me, Lord, to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand. I do realize and understand the strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So we are in a short series called Step into Life, and we kicked it off on Easter Sunday. And on Easter, we were talking about stepping into the resurrection of Jesus, stepping into eternal life through the resurrection power of Christ. And then last week, we looked at stepping into a life of destiny that it said in the blessings. We call these the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we said that for the believer, there is the reality that we receive the kingdom of heaven, that we have received the kingdom of heaven now, but yet not yet fully realized. So there's a now, not yet. And then the rest of the Beatitudes, it says, they shall, they shall, they shall. And then it ends again, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So there's this tension between, there are blessings we receive now, but yet there's blessings in the future as well. And sometimes we receive things now from God, and sometimes it's not until the after part that we receive from God. And so we're going to be looking at how that works today. When it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What are they mourning about? Is it just blessed to anyone who cries about something or is upset about something? Or does it mean something more spiritual in nature than that? Well, if we go back to the first one, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we looked at the fact that blessed are the poor in spirit meant those who realize that they're spiritually bankrupt, that there is nothing that they have to offer God, that blessed are those who realize that they are in need of him, and they come to him with nothing but a broken heart and an open hand. They receive from God. Blessed are those who mourn, are those who mourn over their sin and their failure. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all not lived up to what God's perfection, right? All right, two of us haven't. That's okay. We'll keep working with it. We all haven't lived up. We're not perfect, and so we've all sinned. And how blessed it is for those who mourn over their sin or who are convicted by their sin. Call that word conviction. Y'all know what conviction means. I need some good old hearty sinners that know what's conviction is and to say amen to this. That there's a time when you know you weren't living right. You were outside the will of God. You weren't doing it the way God said to do it, and you were doing it your own way. And you didn't follow God. You didn't love God. You didn't honor God. And the Holy Spirit convicted your heart that you have sinned, and it breaks you, and it causes you to weep over your sin. That's a blessed thing. Why? Because those who understand their spiritual bankruptcy and they weep over their sin are in the position to receive God's grace and forgiveness. And he comforts us with his forgiveness. Amen. Now there's three that we're going to look at specifically that's going to springboard us into the main thought today. And that's found in verses 5, 7, and 9. It says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now, I want you to look at these three, being gentle, merciful, and peacemakers. And we think, man, apart from the Holy Spirit, I can't live this out. Like, my flesh doesn't want to do this. In my own willpower, in my own fleshly nature, I don't want to be gentle, right? I want to be aggressive. I mean, you come at me, I come back at you, right? You get me, I get you. You know, I don't want to be gentle. I want to get even. Anybody else there that's in your flesh, you want to do that? You don't want to be gentle. You want to get even. You want to make sure they pay. And so this is different. This is a whole different way of thinking, viewing, living. It's the way that he says, blessed are the gentle. What are gentle? Gentle is a person who is loving, who has good manners, who is self-disciplined, and who quietly submits to God's rule and authority over their life. It's hard for us. Our fleshly nature, we want to do what we want to do. Huh? Come on, talk to me. We want to do what we want to do. I mean, we don't, most time we don't want to follow God. We'll do it our way, and we'll try to ram our will through. And the world today doesn't see gentleness as a character trait to be emulated. No, you got to be hard. You got to be tough. You got to push through. Blessed are the merciful. Well, I don't want to be merciful. I don't want to forgive. They don't deserve it. You don't know how awful they are. You don't know what kind of person. You don't know what they did to me. There's no way I'm going to forgive them. I'm not showing mercy. They don't deserve it. I'm glad God doesn't think like that about us. Amen. Because guess what? You didn't deserve God's mercy either. I didn't deserve God's mercy either. Right? The Bible says that this is how much God loves us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loved us. So even when we were unloving, God loved us. Even when we didn't deserve mercy, we received mercy. And even when we were acting in ways that God could have said, "I ain't forgiven you," and he had been justified in doing that, he didn't. He showed mercy. So guess what we're supposed to do? Show mercy. We are to forgive others as Christ forgave us. And that is hard to do, isn't it? I mean, that's not what we want to do. No, we want to punish. We don't want to give mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called sons of God. Peacemakers. Now, I know a lot of troublemakers. Not very many peacemakers. Most of us like to be troublemakers. We like to stir up Right? Somebody comes to you, say, you know, so-and-so did this. Well, I tell you what, this is what I would do. And we just stir up the trouble. But blessed, it says, are the peacemakers who try to bring peace. Now, you don't always get peace, even when you try to bring peace, right? Because remember, we just read in the Beatitudes, blessed are you when they persecute you. So there are times when even when you try to make peace, you don't get peace. Paul said, as far as it lies in you, be at peace with all men. As far as it lies. So you don't be the reason why there's a trouble. Don't be the troublemaker. You try to be the peacemaker. And even when you're trying to be the peacemaker, and if it can't resolve and peace can't be found, that's not on you. But your job is to be a peacemaker. That's why, you know, I love Dr. Martin Luther King. Because the way that he led the protests and the way that the movement happened back in the civil rights movement, it was only done by the power of God. And here's why here's why it worked and why it was so successful. And here's what teachers don't want you to know. Here's what we try to hide the fact of, is that it wasn't just Dr. King. It was the Reverend Dr. King. He was a Baptist preacher who loved the Lord and who saw an injustice but did it the way that Jesus would say to do it. Blessed are the peacemakers. How do you protest and stand there and absolutely do not retaliate or do not punch back or do not fight back if it's not through the power of the Holy Spirit? Huh? Can't be done. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now notice the promises here. He says, you shall inherit the earth for the gentle. You shall receive mercy for the merciful. You'll be called sons of God for those who are peacemakers. When I think about those promises, it brings peace to my life, doesn't it, you? I think, man, inherit the earth, receive mercy, be called a son of God. Those are peaceful terms. And so this morning, my challenge in this next series is step into the life of peace, that we need to step into the life of peace. And how do we walk in peace? Because most people don't live in peace. Most people live in chaos. Most of us live with problems, stress, struggles, all kinds of stuff. We don't have peace. So how do we walk in peace? Well, we got to understand what peace is. Peace is not the absence of conflict. That's not peace. Some people think that if you never have any problems, or if all of your struggles or trials go away, then you'll have peace. That's not the case. Here is a promise from Jesus. How many of y'all love promises from Jesus? Anybody? All right, we love promises from Jesus. You ready? Here's a promise. In this world, you will have trouble. There's your promise. In this world, you will have trouble, but fear not. For I've overcome the world. That's where your peace comes. In this world, you're going to have trouble. So peace is not the absence of trouble. It's got to be something different. What is peace? Peace is trusting and having complete confidence in the Lord. That's what brings you peace. Let me give you an example. My father-in-law, he's, some of you all who know Mike, he's a great man, and no matter what he would borrow from you, you could lend it to him and you wouldn't have to worry about anything. I mean, like, if he comes over, he wants to use all my tools that I have, and people who know me, they know that he's not going to ask much of tools from me. He has to borrow a hammer. He's like, you got a hammer? One time I handed it to him, he's like, kind of laughed at my hammer. I was like, well, is that not a hammer? He's like, well, kind of. All right. But anyway, so that's beside the point. So if he were to borrow anything from me, I wouldn't stress. I wouldn't worry. I have complete confidence in three things. One, he's going to bring it back. He's not one that you lend something to and you never get it back. He's going to get it back to you. Two, he's going to bring it back to you in a better shape than when you gave it to him. And three, if he breaks what you lend to him, he will buy you a new one and make sure that he replaces it. That's the type of person he is. So if he asks to borrow anything from me, it's like, sure, go ahead. I give it, and I don't worry about it. I don't think, oh, I wonder if Mike's going to break it. I wonder if he's going to bring it back. I have complete peace. Why? Because I have complete confidence and trust that he's going to bring it back. See how that works? Like, you know, Eric Holly, when he comes out here, you know, when he first came to the church, he had a business, a master's carpentry, and I didn't really know him that well, and so he said he could do all this stuff, and then I began observing him doing all this stuff, and man, he really knew what he was doing. And so on Saturdays, when he's running the crew of guys that are here, and they're putting up walls and all this kind of stuff, I don't sit at home. If I'm away somewhere on the weekend, I don't go, oh, I wonder if the walls are going to be put up right or not. I wonder if Eric knows what he's doing. No, I have complete confidence and trust that he's going to make sure that the guys put the stuff in right. I don't worry. I have complete peace. Why? Because I trust him. Does that make sense? Now, so when I trust God, and when I put my faith in Him, and I completely believe that He's going to do what He says He's going to do, that the promises that He promises me will come true, man, it helps me to live a life of peace, confidence, and trust. So we're going to look at Psalm 37, and we look at Psalm 37. This is, I believe, Jesus used Psalm 37 even in this, in His sermon in Matthew 5. We're going to look at ways of how we can engage and walk in peace. Psalm 37 verse 1, it begins with something that we shouldn't do. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." That means to be kindled with anger. "Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." He says, do not worry, do not be anxious, do not let the fact that when you look at people and you think, well, they're not doing it right, but they seem to be getting ahead. Well, they're a scoundrel, they're a thief, they're a cheat, and they're climbing their way, and they're doing better than I am. I mean, they drive a better car than I have, they have a better house than I do, they've got better, you know, why is it that it seems like that the wicked prosper? He says, don't worry about that, don't stress over that, because their gain is only temporary. Because as a believer, we're not just concerned about the now, but we're concerned about the forever. So when you see and you think, well, it seems like the people who do it wrong get it right. Don't think that way. Because they will not get by with anything. Don't envy them. Don't fret. Don't worry. Have forever in view. The problem is we're so short-term people, aren't we? I mean, everything instant. We got instant communication, our phone, apps, you know, texting. You can't even be left alone. I love the good old days, back when there were a phone that was stuck to a wall. It had this big long cord that you'd stretch around. Gave you something to fiddle around with, right? Some of you are not thinking, what is he talking about? You never know. Yes, there was a day when there was no cell phones, where it went ding, 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 going around, and you're like, oh, what's going on, huh? I'll blow you away, young folks. There was a day. Is that Avery? Right there. Avery, I'm going to blow you away. There was a day when it took more than 3 minutes to make a pot pie. There was no such thing as microwaves. They didn't exist. I remember the first time that our family, we got a microwave. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that, right? We got our microwave. We set it down. You know, you had to turn the dial. There wasn't no little boop, 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 boop. Turn the dial. Hit start, and then back away from that sucker. You didn't know what that was going to do. You heard there's all kinds of radiation coming out of that thing. You're like, I ain't getting around that. So I remember like trying to walk underneath that, you know, trying to get away from the rays, all that. Now we got the radiation going straight to our head through our phones. And we wonder why we get all this. Anyway, that's another sermon. So anyway, I mean, so instant. Something. We got to have it now. Got to have it now. There's a forever that we got to look at. There are blessings that God does bless His children with now. That is so true. But there are some times that the blessings that we want will never come now. But they will come in the forever. And we've got to be willing to trust Him. That even if I don't have what I want now, I will inherit the earth. That's what He said. I will inherit the earth. I might not have much now, but I will inherit the earth. That's a promise from God. So how do I do it? Look at verse 3. It tells us. Here's that word again, trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. Trust in who He is. He says that He is the God who protects. Well, He's my protection. He says He is the God who heals. He's my healer. He says He is the God of peace. So He is my peace. He is the good shepherd. He knows me by name. I trust that he is caring for me, that he is watching over me, and that no matter what circumstance I find myself in, I know that he is there. I trust in the Lord. And when I'm trusting in the Lord, what do? I do good. Is that what it says? Trust in the Lord and what? And do good. Well, what about everybody else? Look at everybody else. They're not doing good and they're still getting ahead. Forget about it. Don't worry about them. Don't worry what they're doing. Yeah, but I tell you what, they're doing this. And everybody else is. Don't worry about everybody else. You do good. You trust in the Lord and you keep doing good. Well, everybody else comes in late. Not you. Everybody else cheats on their time clock. Not you. Well, it seems like, it doesn't matter what it seems like. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Don't matter what he does. Doesn't matter what she does. It matters what you do. You can only be in charge of you. The only attitude that you can change is your attitude. Right? So it doesn't matter what. If everyone else is doing evil, you don't have to do evil. Come on, you don't have to talk to me. Right? If everybody else is doing wrong, you don't have to do wrong. You can still do good. So no matter what's going on around you, it doesn't matter. You trust in the Lord and you do what's right. And you be honorable. And you have character. And you have integrity. And you be the person that God wants you to be. Don't worry about anybody else. You can't change them. Focus on you. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Dwell in the land of his grace, his mercy. Dwell in the land of a new life with Christ and cultivate faithfulness. Now, I'm not much of a farmer, but I know enough that you got to dig up the dirt. And after you dig up the dirt, you got to till it, and you got to do all kinds of, and then you've got to plant the seed. Then you got to water the seed. Then you got to make sure that the weeds don't get in there, right? You got to work it. You got to work your life. You've got to plant the Word of God in your life. You've got 66 bags of seeds here in this book. You got to plant it in your life. You've got to water it through prayer. You've got to work. You've got to continually have a life of where you're worshiping and honoring and serving and loving the Lord and cultivating faithfulness and being faithful, obeying, trusting and obeying, trusting and obeying. When God lays on your heart to follow him and you know it's a clear direction from the Word of God, you do it. And the more faithful you are, the closer you walk with him and you're cultivating faithfulness through your life. That's something that you do. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Find pleasure in the Lord. Some of the best moments of my life has been in my quiet time. Maybe it's been in a closet. Maybe it's been in my car. Maybe it's just been on a bedroom floor where I have cried out to God. And I have prayed to him. And I have heard from him. And he has spoken to me. And I have felt the Holy Spirit just comfort me and overshadow me. And I love the presence of God. I love being in his presence. I love hearing from him. I love reading his word. I love reading the Bible. I read it a lot. I read a lot of books about the Bible. And I love that. I delight myself in the Lord. It should be the fact that we gain as much delight in the Lord as we do a ball game. That there is joy in serving the Lord. Do you realize you can actually enjoy serving God? I mean, you can actually enjoy using your gifts and talents for God. It doesn't have to be like, well, I got to do this at the church. It can be like, I get to do this for the church because people are going to come in here and hear and experience. And maybe people come to know Jesus and their lives change for all eternity. There's joy in that. Don't you all get joy in that? Get joy in teaching those little kids, and then, man, who knows, their eyes light up, and God begins working on their heart. Do you know that you can have joy in worshiping? Even if it's a song you don't really like, but if you have the right heart and right attitude, you can still enjoy hearing the praises of God's people go up to the Lord. You realize that you can enjoy giving? Well, come on, preacher. Now, I don't know what you've done. I know, what have you been drinking? I don't know what you've been drinking, but you're just talking crazy now. No, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And in Proverbs says, a generous man, he himself will be blessed. You can't outgive God. Do you realize that you can actually have joy and delight yourself in the Lord in your giving? Delight yourself in the Lord. John Piper, he is a retired pastor now, but he's known for a ministry that he started called Desiring God Ministries. And his little phrase that he would use that captures that whole ministry thought is that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Say that one more time. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That when we find our joy in him, our peace in him, our love in him, and when we enjoy him, he is greatly glorified. He is honored. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What's that mean? What desires? Well, it's the desires of knowing him more. It'll be spiritual desires. It won't be fleshly desires. It's the desires of the heart, of the soul. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. For everyone asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be opened to him. You can have as much God in your life as you want to. Draw close to me, God says, and I'll draw close to you. God doesn't move. Oftentimes we move away. We look at our life and we think, man, I tell you what, my times with God, it ain't like it used to be. Well, you're not praying like you used to. You're not reading your Bible like you used to. There's all kinds of things. We have as much time. We can devote as much time in prayer and Bible study and reading as we want to. You want to draw closer to God? The more you read the Bible, the more you read about his character. The more you read about his character, the more you trust him. The more you get to know him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Not your flesh, of your heart. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Now look at verse 7. This goes back to our immediate gratification impulse that we have. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest, wait patiently. Oh man, I gotta have it now, right? I want it now, not later. I want it now. There was a study done in Stanford University at the Bing Nursery School back in the 1960s, and what they did was they were trying to they did a study on these preschoolers, these of delayed gratification, and what they did is they put them in a room and they put a marshmallow on the plate or something else that was kind of enticing. And they would tell them, if you could wait 15, 20 minutes, I'll give you two of those. You can have the one now, or you can wait and you can get two. And so then they would leave the room. They'd watch these little fellas look at that marshmallow. And some of them would pick at it, and some of them would just go ahead and eat it. And then some of them waited, and then when they came back, they got two. And what they discovered is that the students who were able to delay gratification were more successful in life than those who had the immediate impulse to take it. They did better on their SAT, and they did better in life in general. And that's what I think that we're not good at as a culture and a society as Christians. Because we want the blessings of God now. I mean, if God ain't moving in my life now, if he's not doing what I want him to do now, I mean, I've prayed, and God still hasn't answered. What's up with God? Well, how long have you prayed? A week. And we want it now. But there are some times when the answers, they do come now, that it may take years for it to be answered. But there are some times when your prayer may never be answered in your lifetime. It'll be answered in eternity. We've got to be okay with delayed gratification. That sometimes the blessings of God come to us now, but sometimes they come in eternity. And we got to ask ourselves, do we believe that the Lord is a promise keeper? That if he says that those who are gentle will inherit the earth, that even though I'm not inheriting the earth now and I don't have much now, but I will inherit the earth, I will be in his kingdom forever. Do I trust that? And do I allow that to impact my life? Do I allow the promises of God to bring peace into my life? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Don't worry about everybody else. Trust in the Lord. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will what? Inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. But the humble will what? Inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. If you want to live a life of peace, you have got to trust in the Lord. Back when it talks about committing your ways to the Lord, I think I skipped verse 5. When it says commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him and he will do it. That word commit literally means to roll on. To roll on to him. Commit your ways to the Lord. So whatever that you have going on in your life that's weighing you down or stressing you out or the plans, you roll it on to him. First Peter says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So you take your stress, roll it on to him. Take your doubt, roll it on to him. Take your worries, roll it on to him. And let him carry it. Many of us do this. We roll it on to him. Lord, I'm angry. I'm angry. I'm going to commit it to you, Lord. Take it. And we go grab it back. Instead of just committing it to him and saying, Lord, you can do with that so much better than I can. Commit your way to the Lord. And I tell you, doesn't that describe a life of peace? Don't you want to walk in peace where you completely trust the Lord? That no matter what happens, I'm trusting God. I'm not going to let it worry me. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm not going to stress me. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to do good. I'm going to cultivate faithfulness. I'm going to keep doing what I know to be doing, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. Everything starts falling apart. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Trust in the Lord. I can't worry about what comes my way. I just got to keep doing what I know to do. I just got to keep doing good, cultivating faithfulness. I just got to keep trusting God. Right? Doctor's report. Oh, man. Trust in the Lord. Nothing I can do about it. I'll just keep doing good, trusting God, keep cultivating faithfulness, committing my way to him, resting in him, waiting patiently on him. See how this impacts your life? Peace. A life of peace. And it makes you have joy, and it can have you sing and have your life be the Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, I'm going to read that real quick, and we'll close. In Psalm 34, David, y'all remember David? David had found out that King Saul was going to kill him, and so he ran. And another king found out that he might have been in that area, and so he pretends to be a madman. He pretends to be insane to fool him. Then he hides in a cave. And while he is in a cave, he writes this psalm, and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and rejoice. Why? Because if we're going to boast, we don't boast in ourselves. We don't boast in our own power. We boast in the Lord. And the humble hear that and say, yes, brag on Jesus. Brag on Jesus. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. How many of y'all want to worship Jesus with me today? We magnify his name. Let's exalt his name together. He says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And he saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. God guards over his children. You got to trust that. There is a moment in the Old Testament, 2 Kings, when Elisha, he was a prophet of God. And God was revealing to him these military strategies that were going on. And he sent a servant out one day, and the servant went to go get water. And his servant comes back, and he's like, there is an army, there's chariots all around us, we're in trouble. And he's panicked. He's anxious. He's worried. Not very peaceful at this moment. And Elisha says, there's more of us than there are of them. This didn't make sense. And he prays to God that he would open up the eyes of his servant, that he would see what he sees. And God opens up his eyes, and there is an army of angels surrounding. If we could see into the spiritual realm, we would see an angelic host who guards over the sons of God. Trust in the Lord. In verse 8, he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. Man, he's good. You can trust him. You can have complete confidence in him. And some of you have experienced this, and you know what I'm talking about. Even in the most bitter moments of your life, you've tasted the sweetness of God. He's proven himself faithful. And today I ask that you would rejoice with me today. Child of God, that you would just worship him today. That you would magnify his name. And that you would place your confidence in him. If there's any things that you're carrying, stress, anxiety, doubt, fear, anger, pride, lust, whatever it is, roll it off. Roll it off. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've never surrendered to him and asked him to forgive you your sins, man, this would be a great morning to come and taste and see how good God is. And say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again. Come into my life and save me. You know what? He will. He will turn no one away. So if that's you this morning, we ask that you come. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you are a God who hears us when we call out. You see us, God. And you show mercy and grace. Lord, even in the moments when we don't deserve it. And we thank you for that. Lord, there's some of us today, we're carrying some stuff that we don't need to be carrying. And we're not walking in peace. We're walking in frustration. We're walking in anger, guilt, doubt, fear, whatever it may be. And today, Lord, may we lay it off of us and put it onto you and trust that you can handle that a lot better than we can. Father, the man or the woman today that does not know you, they know about you, but they don't know you personally. And you're speaking to their heart right now. Would you just call them out and let them come and say, I need you, Lord. I need you. When you'd break down that barrier that's holding them away, and they would come and taste and see how good you are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.